This recording, North Carolina 10, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah was a nurse who had been working in a deserted district of the territory for a long time, so she was very happy to start a new job in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She checked herself in the mirror and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain white dress and a furry yellow fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah a letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the bird. Soon that goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it took some force to trap her, but Sarah managed by gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm and singing to her. Her efforts were not futile. Very soon, the goose began to tire, and Sarah gave her a relaxing bath. Then she laid Comma on a cloth for diagnosis. Almost immediately, Sarah remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. I can't remember the name of the medicine. It came in a fancy jar and was very expensive. But Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. This is a story from 1976 about a poor high school student whose daddy wouldn't buy him a car when everybody else had a brand new car. And I had to drive a school bus to keep from riding it. So I drove my school bus, and near the end of the year when I turned, I guess, 18, I was getting ready to go to college after having suffered through high school without having a car. I was offered a choice of a car, principally so they wouldn't have to drive me to college. And since we had to keep the sales tax money in the county, the choices were at the Chevrolet place or the Ford place. So I had a choice between a Chevy Vega and a Ford Pinto. And I went with the Chevrolet Vega, which wasn't exactly a sexy car. Years later, I heard Stormy Norris tell me that when I still had the car almost 10 years later, all the other kids felt sorry for me having to drive that thing. But shortly after I had the car, two or three weeks afterwards, one afternoon I was driving through town and saw Lou Ann Knipe and Linda Harding come walking down the sidewalk. Linda was nice enough. Lou Ann was just beautiful. She'd gone to Cane River and never paid me any attention, but I saw her walking down the sidewalk and was so excited that she could see me, even if it was a Vega. And I was coming up near the Gulf Station down at the bottom of the hill where the old hospital used to be, cruising around, looking over at Linda and Lou Ann on the sidewalk, and failed to notice that Ray Higgins, who was a postal delivery guy, was sitting, blinking, turning left, getting ready to go up Swiss Street to his house. And I turned around just in time to slam on my brakes, skid a little bit, and my front left light crashed into the back of Ray's car. He always had a bad neck to begin with, and he got out holding his neck, and I was afraid I'd killed him or something. And before I took up with him, my last sight of Lou Ann was she and Linda go on walking down the sidewalk giggling. Quite a traumatic